Hello, you are listening to Baller Advice. Here we discuss topics based on school, young adult life, habits, hobbies, and interests. My name is Sydney Aramel, and I am an IB student at Coral Gables Senior High School. I'm known for being a swimmer, water polo player, and being involved in school life through IB Executive Council. My goal is to give advice and look deeper into the simple aspects of our lives. Hello. Welcome to Baller Advice. Kind of wanted to reflect a bit back on my overall high school experience and the experiences that I went through, as well as the way high school changed. And so as a part of wanting to reflect on all of this, I also wanted to talk a bit about kind of what I may have felt in the moment and how I feel now about high school. Was a bit of a rough start for me because as someone who's moved around a lot, and I don't think I've ever fully completed, say, one interim of school, right? So let's say elementary school, I've never completed it at one school itself. Same with middle school. And so when I moved here to Miami at first, I had just come from Charlotte, North Carolina, and then I was attending the International Studies Charter School, or I will be referring to it as ISH throughout this episode. One of the big things was that having gone to the school for like the first half of my freshman year, I was very comfortable with where I was. And so I wasn't really keen on changing schools, which ended up happening for multiple reasons. The first of which being that I wasn't really treated properly by the faculty. And then another reason being that my mom felt my academic performance had dropped too significantly for me to stay at that school. And I wouldn't say it's because, you know, it was rigorous or anything like that. What happened was that a lot of my courses, either I didn't have a teacher or they were making me retake a class that I'd already taken in the previous state I was in at the previous school for middle school, or they didn't want to let me take certain classes. And so I automatically was kind of at a disadvantage in the courses I was in because either I'd already taken the course and I wasn't interested in it, or I didn't have a teacher, or I just wasn't in the right class. And so that kind of like messed up everything. But beyond that, as a result of all of those factors, I ended up transferring over to Coral Gables Senior High, and I wasn't really happy about it at first because obviously I was already comfortable in the other school, or I had started getting comfortable because I started getting to know the kids. And at the time, I would say that, you know, I was happy at ISH over Gables. But reflecting back right now, I would say that it was kind of like I was living in a bubble, like a dream. And I don't really regret having left ISH because I know that the choices I would have made would have been very much more different than if I hadn't gone to Gables. And so once I got to Gables, it was a bit of a transitioning period because of the way everything was kind of like messed up at ISH, I ended up actually being behind in courses at Gables. And so I had to not only catch up, but I also had to, you know, find ways to get involved and stuff. And that really didn't happen my freshman year because I had transferred in around November, and it was already like, you know, I started hearing of things like midterms, stuff like that, you know, like there was all sorts of exams and I wasn't really used to that yet, or at least not in the context that, you know, Gables had it, because it's a public school. And so obviously they have to do district testing along with, you know, you have the testing from the teachers themselves. And so it was a lot for me to take in at the time. But I would say that it was probably one of those like awakening moments for me because it helped me kind of like remember that like I'm not at school to kind of like mess around with my friends 24/7, you know? And that really helped me push me back into like this academic mindset where I have to work hard in order to achieve results. And not only that, I also felt more comfortable about doing so because at Gables, because I was in the IB program, it was rather competitive. It was like, you want to get good grades, right? But when you're at Ish, it's the exact opposite. It's more so that like people will make fun of you or even look down on you for having good grades or trying to score well. And so that dynamic is very much different at both of those schools. And to be honest, I wouldn't recommend going to Ish unless you want your French baccalaureate. And that's like a big reason why I'm now really against Ish, because I now recognize that like that school, for no matter like almost anything you want to do, it's not really worth it. Because along with like kind of being in a bubble, they don't have like the proper support system or opportunities in order to help their students succeed. I feel like that school just isn't a good school at all, especially considering that it's in an office building and it doesn't feel like a high school when you go there. And so I just wouldn't recommend it. But this is, of course, my hindsight. And what I would say is that when you're attending a school, sometimes you have to become more aware when you can, right? So for me, I had to become more aware of my situation by changing schools. Preferably, you don't want to have to do something as drastic as that. But definitely, like wherever you are, you want to be aware of like your surroundings, what you're doing overall, like what is the goal, right? Because at the time, I wanted to go to a top school. The thing is, I wasn't in the proper environment to do so, and nor was I acting as if I could, you know, or wanted to do so. Whatever sentiments were reflected by my peers, I ended up kind of absorbing those attitudes. And so I just wasn't comfortable, you know, trying to excel in things like that. Or I would tell myself, oh, I'll leave it for next year or something like that, you know? And those types of lies that you tell yourself only hurt yourself more. And so that's why it's like super important to be reflective, not only like when you're looking back, but also in a present moment. Unfortunately, I wasn't really able to do that until I left the school and then I was in a new environment and I felt more comfortable with like myself and like what my goals were. And of course, once I got to Gables and then I started getting myself situated, 2020, you know, COVID hit. And so then I was at home. And I think one of the big things that I wasn't really able to do while I was at Gables for those like couple of months, I think like around 3 or 4 that I was there, was that I wasn't really able to make a lot of friends, right? Because when you enter school in the middle of the year, especially that first year, people have already started developing their cliques and stuff within that first month. I found it very hard to find, you know, my little dynamic and things, but luckily I was able to make friends whom I still appreciate to this day because they kind of allowed me to find a new side to myself and express myself more. And I think that was like definitely the start of like a change that even I started recognizing that, you know, I felt more free to act. I felt that those people were more accepting of who I am versus like the people at Ish who tend to have a more cliquish dynamic and were much more, they were very judgy. But beyond that, once COVID hit and everything, I would say during COVID, it was really an introspective moment for me and it allowed me to like take a breather and slow down because the way I moved and everything, it felt as if my life was like very fast and I just needed like time to like think. During COVID, I did go to school physically and that really kind of helped me overall with making new friends. Because at this point, COVID kind of was the reset button, right? It was the reset button that I needed. It allowed me to kind of reshape my focus on, you know, my whole life and the way that I see things around me. And it also allowed me to excel academically much more because it gave me a chance to kind of think more about the things that I liked and that I wanted to do. And I would say that was when, like, I think that the people around me also helped shape that. I could never be more thankful to Woody for helping me grow and become more dedicated as a person toward the goals that I have. But not only him, I think I have thanked Christian even more for kind of drawing me out of my shell and then getting me into those things. And a few other people who were truly able to help me grow as a person. And I think that is like, I couldn't really say how grateful I am to them for that, because I would say that those people during my COVID year kind of were the most impactful at the time, because I would say they were the ones who kind of gave me a chance more so, or at least that's how I felt. And then, of course, in a previous podcast episode, I had mentioned how my teacher, Ms. Peterson, also helped me grow as an academic writer. And I would say during COVID, I grew the most because I felt like I had more opportunities to do so. And I really wanted to. I think there's that little factor that you have to consider throughout your life. It's that intrinsic motivation of whether you want to do something or not. And that is very important, not only for like yourself, but for the people around you. Because when you really want to do something, other people around you will be able to see that and they're going to help you achieve it. So I feel like because of that, I was able to create, you know, different opportunities for me to become more involved at school, for me to grow and become more involved outside of school as well. And I would say it was kind of like the little spark that also helped me later on, you know, start this podcast and kind of dream big overall. I think I also owe a big thank you to the people who were constantly supporting me, my parents. Definitely, there's an important factor of intrinsic motivation whenever we're kind of thinking about and doing these things. I would also consider beyond intrinsic motivation is whether you have a goal in place. I think having a goal truly helped me like throughout high school, because whenever I kind of got lost, I would refocus myself into that goal. And of course, my mom would help me a lot, chastising me and reminding me to keep my grades up and stuff like that, or reminding me that I need to participate in different activities and I can't just stay home and do nothing. That was a big help as well. But it's kind of like those things, you know, it's not only intrinsic motivation, but it's also having some sort of goal in mind to help you stay focused. Admittedly, having a goal, it helped me, like, even now, whenever I'm thinking about things, I think, what is my end goal? And then I start thinking about the process to get to that goal. Or maybe I think about the first step I can take toward that goal, right? Because honestly, the hardest thing is starting something. I think during high school, the hardest thing for me was kind of starting that flame that would help me be motivated to achieve my goal. It wasn't more so that I didn't know how to achieve it, because at the time I did know how to achieve, you know, being able to go to Pomona College or stuff like that, getting scholarships. I knew how to do it. The difference was that at the time I didn't have the motivation to start doing it. You know, it's kind of like how you know you have to do something, but you don't. And so that was kind of where I was at. But through the people around me and helped me find that motivation I needed to start moving forward and or at least taking. So after that, like, you know, COVID year, that was my junior year. And I would say that was when I started like building up my confidence in my abilities. And I think that's something that's very important to have in high school. You really do need to feel confident in what you can do. And then you need to be humble about what you cannot do. That year, I probably felt more less confident about what I could do, because I felt like I hadn't done good enough compared to everyone else and things like that. And there were people who I met, like Rocio, who kind of helped me build up confidence in who I was, building up confidence in the personality I have, things like that. Admittedly, I am a bit quirky when I think about it, and I do have an eccentric personality. But I wasn't really confident in that before, and so I would be quite reserved, and I wouldn't socialize as much and things like that. She definitely did help me build up my confidence, but I would also say that, like, I was also very focused last year because I only had one goal in mind, and that was to, like, keep up my grades, because when you're an IB junior, there's so much to deal with. Even if you tell people, they wouldn't understand too much unless they're an IB student as well, or they were an IB student. And it's not more so that, like, you're making the experience bigger than it is, or like you're telling people that, like, their experiences will never match yours. It's that it's more so of a unique experience that, like, when you're undergoing at the time, because of the way, you know, school is structured and things like that, it feels and it really is overwhelming in nature, but it is doable. Like, I strongly believe anyone can get their IB diploma. You just need to have like focus in what you want to do. Speaking on focus, I would say during junior year, I was very, very focused. I didn't really go out too much. I would say if I went out, it would maybe be like after practice for a bit, or on like once or twice a month on a weekend. Another thing was that like I was also less kind of like socializing with people. I was more reserved. I didn't think socializing was important or a big thing. And so I kind of just kept to myself and like the people who I already knew, maybe added a few friends, but that was mostly it. Even though, you know, at the time I felt I was missing out on like a lot because my friends, they were going out, they were doing things with each other. And then every single time I would kind of be like, no, I'm too busy or something like that, right? I definitely don't regret making those decisions because I think those decisions helped me not only keep up my grades, but they helped me kind of like continue to focus on school and then not get distracted by, you know, the billion other things that you could be doing, like going to the beach, playing video games or things like that. You know, you don't have to do it that way. I did it that way because at the time I felt like that was the best way for it to, for me. Another thing I would say is that like I was also focused on college. So I was attending webinars, and that's something I highly recommend. If you already have an idea of what college you want to go to, or even if you don't, attend the webinars. Those webinars help you so much. For instance, junior year, I was able to determine that the only school I was interested in that was kind of out of the country would be McGill University in Canada. Of course, I didn't decide too much based on my major, although it did influence. And I'm not certain about what major I want to do, but I knew the general area. And so I knew what type of school I was looking for. I was looking for a very strong STEM school, but at the same time, I was also considering, you know, it has to have good humanities as well. And so automatically I was more so looking toward like liberal arts colleges and things of that nature. And again, the webinars really help you find out like the student dynamic. Looking at your email of like what they send and stuff is, again, helpful because you get a good idea of what type of students attend and whether you're a good fit for that school. And so junior year for me was kind of all about finding out about different colleges in advance it are able to go see a school. Having lived in multiple places, I already knew what places I didn't want to live in, what colleges I knew of and whether I liked them or not. So that helped. For example, I lived in Boston. One of the things that kind of helped having lived there was that I had seen Boston College, Boston University, Harvard, Tufts, a multitude of schools, MIT. And I already knew that I wasn't interested in Harvard solely for the sake of the student dynamic and the students that attend there. That really helps being able to see the school and the students who go there, as well as like whether you like the campus or not. I think a big thing is the campus, again, because you're going to be living at that college for 4 years. And so being comfortable with your environment is, I think, a big thing, because when I lived in Charlotte, I realized that I didn't like North Carolina at all. I didn't like the fact that there was basically nothing for me to do besides going to soccer practice and then going home and then going to Barnes & Noble on the weekend. And so I knew that I didn't want to live in a place like North Carolina because I didn't want to be like kind of limited by like what was around me and things of that nature. So I definitely wanted a bigger city. And so schools like Duke, UNC Chapel Hill were automatically off of the list. And I didn't really like the Deep South in general because of my experience I had in middle school. And so automatically schools like Emory and even schools in Northern Florida, like University of Florida, FSU, were off the list as well. I didn't want to stay in Florida, so I also crossed off basically every school except for University of Miami, which I did apply to and get in, but I never really intended on going there. I just more so did it, ironically, as a safety, because I was like, well, if I do happen to stay here in Florida, I want to have at least, like, I guess, one school I can fall back on. and I chose University of Miami. Beyond student dynamic, the academics, like what is the school composed of? Is it strong in STEM? Is it strong in your major? Does it have a special program that you're interested in? Things of that nature really help in making decisions. But yeah, just really take a look at what they send you, because what ends up happening in the long run is when you're applying to colleges, there's sometimes material that you can use in those books. And one of the big ones for me was when I was applying to University of Chicago, I remember they had sent like, I think something called Life of the Mind, where it like had the daily life of like students and things of that, like that, and their courses they were taking. And I remembered like a course a student was taking and like what it was about and stuff like that from the book. And so I kind of talked about that in the essay because I felt like that course really interested me. And it also kind of brought in different aspects that I wanted to be able to talk about in my essay, such as cultural and aspects relating more so to cuisines, because I'm a big foodie person. I love cooking. I love eating food and stuff like that. And so I wanted to be able to talk about that in my essay. And so that's how I was able to. I think a big thing that I kind of realized junior year as well, more so toward the end, was that there are so many opportunities around you, but you just need to either look for them yourself or you need to find the right people who can connect you to them. Big person who kind of helped me with that was Rocio, who kind of exposed me to the Chicago summer program. And I applied, I got in, I did it, and I had not only the most fun I've ever had doing any sort of experience, but I also learned a lot about the school itself. I was able to figure out that it was definitely the number one school I wanted to go to. Another thing that I realized was that summer programs, they not only are an opportunity for you to learn about the school, but they're an opportunity to meet other people who can help you learn things about other schools as well. For example, I met people who didn't really intend on attending the University of Chicago, but through their experience, they were able to determine that, okay, I know what type of school I want to go to now. And then I also learned about like the schools that they were interested in and applying, such as University of Pennsylvania. And then just from like how they spoke about it and kind of what I saw online as well, I was able to determine that I wasn't a big fan of the school, or I was a big fan of the school. And having those connections who can like kind of tell you their experience with like a school or like what they know is, again, really helpful throughout the application process. And those are like kind of the things that you can do in order to get ahead in when applying to colleges, because you don't want to be doing this during senior year. You won't have time. It's better to do it junior year. And another thing is people can also connect you to like programs and scholarships. So for example, I learned about the Guided Pathways Support Program, which is a program for like African-American, which intends to help essentially college readiness. I think that was really helpful because I was able to use it to find people who were like willing to read my essays that I wrote later on. Guided Pathways Support Program were definitely super helpful. When you're doing anything, this isn't only for college, you want to like do it in advance. Don't do it like when it's time to do it, because you won't have time to do it. And I kind of found out the hard way, because I was doing my personal statement in September, and I found it to be like kind of hectic because I was a little stressed with like having to do like school, IAEE, all of my IB requirements and things of that nature at the same time as writing my personal statement. And so I found out that definitely don't do that in the future. Do it over the summer. But another thing is that I also kind of found out like funny things about myself, such as the fact that like every time I wrote an essay for a college or for anything, including my IB requirements, I would generally write it when I was hungry, because whenever I was hungry, for some reason, I would write faster and I would write much better than I would when I was like not hungry. And I think it was because by being hungry, I, number one, wasn't able to like fall asleep while doing anything. Number two, I desperately wanted to go eat. And so I would like try to finish as fast as I could so that I could go do that. And then number three, I was able to focus a bit better because I had a goal in mind. I was like, okay, I need to finish this so that I can go do that because I'm actually like starving right now. And I think that's like a very interesting thing I found about myself. And then another thing was that I don't think in a single essay I wrote, I didn't somehow talk about food. Like I would either mention like some sort of food, fruit, or vegetable, or I would talk about like a restaurant or like places I wanted to go eat at and stuff like that. And so I think that was like very funny and quirky of me throughout my essays. Honestly, I would probably be doing this in the future for anything else I have to write once I go to Pomona and start writing essays. I think it's a good way to like kind of discover yourself and what works best for you. That's, I'm not saying for everyone to write when they're hungry, that may not work, but definitely find the environment, find whatever works for you, even if it's like a bit weird. And another thing is that sometimes whenever I come up with ideas to write for essays or like kind of like, let's say that first sentence or introduction that can be difficult to write, often like very spontaneous. So my personal statement, I worked on it for about a week. And the reason I say for a week is because I started thinking about it on one day. And then throughout the week, I would think of like different kind of topics or different ways I could reel in the reader, right? And that's what I was mostly hung up on. It was mostly trying to find a way to reel in the reader and then get them to like feel as if they weren't only listening to the story I was telling them, but as if they were in it. And that's kind of like when it hit me, because it happened like during the middle of the week. Like it was probably day three, day four. And I was like talking to someone and they were telling me about the different ways that they've heard people like say my name, or like how in French, you know, it's Sydney. And then they say Sydney. They said that some people, like when they first meet me, they're like Sydney. I have some teachers who call me Sid. And they're like, it's kind of funny how you have different kind of nicknames or ways to say your name. And then that's kind of like the idea that kind of sparked in my mind as a way to reel in the reader. And that's what I talked about in my essay. I talked about how like not only are there different ways to spell my name, but how there's like different facets of my own personality. And then I talked about relating to my experiences and things of that nature. But the actual writing took me like 3 days, including like reviewing it with someone. But definitely like, sometimes, for at least for me, my best ideas come from like conversations I have with people. That's kind of why I started this podcast. It's because sometimes these episodes happen because I have conversations with people or because people suggest things to me. And then it's reflected like throughout everything I do. I see it in my essay sometimes when they ask me to talk about like about my own personal experience. Or another thing is whenever they ask like why, like a big why question. I talk about, again, the conversations I've had with people and what I learned from them because I look back on that conversation. And so it's kind of like those things that help me write better and be a good writer. So that's kind of it for my like little college spiel. Maybe I'll make a separate episode in the future about college and what things you can do to help you find out which school you want to go to. But definitely like just keep in mind everything I've said now, because those things are going to help you the most, right? So finding what helps you write better, finding what helps you get ideas is definitely important. And taking your time, but also doing it in advance, again, is an important part of being able to succeed, not only in when you're doing the college process, but also whenever you are working on any sort of material. And now when I think about my senior year, I will say I was definitely much more like free-spirited than I was ever since probably like elementary school. I enjoyed myself more. I really immersed myself in the different experiences with my friends. I participated more in like not only school events and things like that, but also I went out more with my friends. And I think that is like something you should definitely do more so your senior year than like any other year, because the senior year kind of like marks the terminal, the end. It's the end of high school, but it's the start of like your journey through life, because now you're out of grade school. Now it's, you know, you're, it's time to shine. It's time to go out and make a name for yourself. But definitely that senior year, I feel like it's important that you do your best to enjoy it, because sometimes this might be the last time you see some of these people. And another thing is that you work so hard that like at some point you have to reward yourself for it. And I think senior year is the time to do it, but that doesn't mean to let your grades drop or like stop doing everything and things like that. It's more so that it's time to like do what makes you happy. Because doing what makes you happy will help you have a more positive outlook on high school. And I learned that the hard way, because I would say that like if I continued to live my senior year like I did junior year, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much, because I would have felt that like while everyone else is doing things around me, again, I'm the one not doing anything. But that's not the case at all. I decided to enjoy myself. I decided to do everything that was offered up to me, even the things I was a little hesitant on. And I think the things I was hesitant on are the things that I had the most fun doing. During senior year, it will be very easy to lose focus and goal and track of the goal, right? Which at that point is graduation and submitting everything for college. And one way that I helped keep focus was that I would start dedicating my time to specific things, right? So if I'm at school, I was 100% dedicating it towards school stuff and things like that. When I'm at home, there were certain time frames, especially after like 8 or 9, where I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do homework. It's kind of like setting those boundaries for yourself that kind of help you still keep track and focus, even though it may not seem like it, right? And that's another thing you have to consider. You have to do what works for you. Don't do what works for other people around you. So if you feel like your grades are slipping because you're going out too much with your friends and things like that, then don't go out as much as they do, because your situation will always be different from theirs. The amount of effort you might have to put in to achieve something might be different from them, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you shouldn't try to like maintain academic goals you have. And another thing about kind of senior year that I realized was that you have like so many opportunities socially to connect and meet with different people, and that's the best time to do it, because that's when you'll probably have more time than other areas of high school to do it. And so by meeting different people and things like that, you can get kind of an edge on like the college process, because those people might be able to tell you a bit more about what they know. And keeping that in mind is very important, because what ends up happening is people feel very competitive when applying to colleges, because they might feel that the more people that apply to the same school as them means that their chances will be less. It's not really true, because regardless of whether the person next to you doesn't apply, someone else is applying. So it's better to kind of just like help each other versus to pull each other down. And that always ends up happening. It's kind of really foolish in my head. But the reason I find it foolish was because I had my experience over the summer. I found out from college admissions officers that these things really don't matter. They're more so looking at the individual versus, you know, everything else. And so by not helping each other out, you're just limiting what you could achieve. And another thing is people often fear that they won't be able to go somewhere because of like money or something like that, or their parents even. That sort of fear should be thrown out the window. You should just be applying so that you at least have the opportunity to make that decision, because you never know what could happen. And I think the fear of not knowing what could happen is what prevents people from applying to top schools or even applying to better schools that they could probably get into. It's that fear of not achieving or failing, and they don't want to feel that. And you know, I get that, but sometimes you have to take the hit. And another thing is, when I was throughout senior year, I also was more reflective on my high school experience. And I would say that like I realized how much I ended up actually enjoying being at Gables and being with my friends and things like that. Because when I was thinking about all of the negative moments I may have had at Gables, I couldn't really find any. I thought more so of like all of the positive experiences and the shared experiences that I had with people around me. And so that was kind of like an indicating factor for me that like I was in the right place. I had enjoyed the school thoroughly. I would definitely say that like I succeeded everything and more in high school. Even though it wasn't where I thought I would end up being, I still enjoyed high school, an experience that I didn't regret. And I think that's a big part of senior year. It's kind of like making sure that like whatever you do, you don't regret it, or you don't like say, I didn't enjoy it. And sometimes you have to, again, take a loss, right? There's some people who you may not want to be friends with, or there's some people who, you know, you might want to be friends with, but can no longer be friends with. And so sometimes but you guys just don't want to be near each other, stuff like that. And sometimes it has to be like that. And again, sometimes you can't stop these things. And so you just have to let them be. Because at the end of the day, there are certain decisions that are better for yourself in the long term. And sometimes it's not worth putting in effort into something that won't be received the same way. But everything else is kind of in your control. You're the one who kind of decides who you stay friends with and things like that. And so essentially what I'm telling you now is that high school, at the end of high school, was kind of when I started realizing that all of it was within my control. Everything I did was because I decided to do it. And that's something that like not a lot of people recognize. It's that a lot of the things that we're able to achieve or the things that we do is because we wanted to. And because we wanted to, we were able to make connections and find people who were then able to come back to us and give us the opportunity to do so. High school was an experience that I thoroughly enjoyed, regardless of, you know, the bumpy roads at the beginning and then kind of like the process of like smoothing out everything toward the end. I definitely felt that it was unforgettable. And I don't think I really left high school with any bad views on anyone. The biggest thing throughout high school, obviously, is that you just need to be motivated and you need to be focused. I think those two things alone will help you achieve everything else that you want. Having that end goal in mind of like, maybe not even knowing which college you want to go to, but if you know that you want to go to a top ranked school, then as long as you have that goal and you take the time to act towards it, that will help you get everything else you need to throughout high school. Because at some point, then you don't need to start thinking about what activities do I need to do to get into colleges. I was never really thinking about that. Because I knew I wanted to go to a top school, I just did what I enjoyed. And then that in turn kind of helped me get to where I needed to be in order to apply to those schools and get in. As long as you're motivated, there's nothing that will really stop you besides yourself. And that was a learning process for me. And I'm sure regardless of, you know, whether people tell you this in advance or people tell you this, you know, while it's happening, you may not listen, you may not care. And that's how I was, admittedly. But at some point, you'll kind of realize these things. High school is essentially a journey in which you're kind of developing this intrinsic motivation of yours, also discovering the things that you do like, as well as what you don't like. These things may not happen instantaneously, but over time, by the end of your senior year, sometimes you'll be able to find ways to reflect on the experiences that you went through and take something out of it. For me, I hope that as a listener, regardless of whether you're going through high school right now or maybe you already have, that you find some way to view high school as a more positive experience. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed listening to Baller Advice, be sure to like this episode and follow us for more. Your contribution helps spread the podcast to others and helps me know what you like so that I can make more of that content.